Today's scripture reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us, abolishing the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Seems like that floor gets further away every time I bend over to read here. For several weeks, Taylor's been talking about choosing. I continue in that vein today. We opened this service with one of my favorite hymns. Come sinners to the gospel feast, let every soul be Jesus' guest. Ye need not one be left behind, for God hath bidden all humankind. Come thou this moment, heed his call, the invitation is to all. But why accept the invitation? Of all the options in the world, why on this particular Sunday should we choose church? Certainly not everybody does, but for whatever reason, we did today. How come? How many of you are familiar with Nadia Bolz-Weber? A few. I warn you, if you look up standard everyday preachers on Google, her name will probably not come up. Her previous hard life has contributed to an honesty in her writing and her preaching, which I find to be important and helpful. But I must warn you, occasionally her language is, shall we say, a bit harsh. This is a portion of one of her sermons that offers at least the beginning of one answer to the question I posed earlier. She writes, "A few months ago, I was in conversation with two other Christian writers when one of them put her coffee mug down and said, 'Can I ask you guys something? Why are we all still church people?' I was taken aback, but it's not a bad question, given the high crimes and misdemeanors of the church, not to mention the rise of white Christian nationalism and all those churches out there filled with people being fed spoons full of xenophobia and told it is Jesus. Given all of it, she asked, why in the world would we still be showing up for, of all things, church? But this time I barely had time to think before my answer came out, and it surprised me because I've spent most of my life trying to be as strong and self-sufficient as I possibly can. But when asked recently why I'm still a church person, I quietly answered, because I'm in need of help. Perhaps now more than ever. I need help to pray, help to forgive, mostly myself, but also others. And here's the important line for me. Help to remember that there's a bigger, truer story than the one I'm being sold every day of my life on the internet. So one very good reason to choose church is because in the midst of it all, we can lose track of who we are. Lose track of who we were created to be. Because it's easy to forget. And so we gather. Which reminds me of a story. I'm often reminded of a story. One afternoon, a little girl about 6 years old tiptoed away from her mother, who was occupied. She snuck into the room where her baby brother was asleep, and she leaned over his crib and she whispered, "Baby brother, tell me about God. I think I am forgetting." We need worship because we might be forgetting. Consider this line from this morning's epistle. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near." We choose to be in church again to be brought near. Most of you may not be familiar with the name of Sir Richard Chichester. Chichester. I love the way the British talk. Chichester. Anyway. Okay. Well, when you're raised in South Texas, everything's a drawl. Okay, come on. Jeez, give me a break. So you may not recognize his name, but you may know the words to a prayer that he wrote in the 13th century. You didn't know that you knew them, because you knew them by another way, and that was the song "Day by Day" from the musical Godspell. His prayer goes as follows. "O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly for your own sake." That to me is a summary of what we're about here. To know God more clearly, love God more dearly, follow God more nearly. We want to know God, and in our best moments, it is God around which we strive to base our lives. And make no mistake, who or what is at the center of your life is vitally important because it shapes who you are. As many of you know, I'm a fan of black preaching. I love the way they repeat things, the same phrase over and over and over again to hammer home the point. As I've often said, redundancy is the soul of pedagogy. I once heard Dr. Zan Holmes use this phrase time after time in a wonderful sermon he preached. "It doesn't matter what you have to live on if you ain't got nothing to live for." We need to be reminded what we live for. I spent 3 years ministering to two small churches right outside of San Angelo. Well, they weren't right outside. One was 35 miles away from San Angelo and the other was 20 miles. Oddly enough, they were 30 miles away from Taylor's people in El Dorado. 30 miles, which is out in that part of the country, means you were right next door. There were a lot of sayings I used to hear when I would gather in the coffee shop with the ranchers. The Hillside Cafe. One I especially remember is this one. "Beauty is only skin deep, but a good case of ugly goes clean to the bone." There's a lot of evidence that bears that out. If evil moves to the heart of things, it gradually becomes the operating norm for the whole system. But thankfully, there's another possibility. The experience of the nearness of God may not go clean to the bone, but it can go clean to the heart. I've been blessed to know a lot of saints in my life, people who exemplified what having God at the center of things looked like. And one of the first things I learned from those people is the fact that they did not just wake up one morning and step out of bed as finished religious products. They got to what they were and where they were, one step at the time, one act at the time, one in understanding at the time, and they were growing nearer to God all the time. More importantly, they centered a significant portion of their lives on that effort. And many of you know it's true because we know some of the same saints. We were blessed to have them amongst us. Our faith needs to be at the center of things, where it can question things, where it can shape things, where it can really, really matter. Now, at first, it may be just about choices. But at some point, we get to that place that wherever, whatever life throws at us, we respond out of our faith because it has become who we are. Actually, the word to Chichester's prayer and the resulting song are right on target. We begin to know God more clearly as we follow God more nearly. As we are about what God is about in the world, it becomes clear what this life looks like, what centering our faith on this reality looks like, and it contributes to our lives and to the lives of those around us. When we gather to worship or study, and when we pray or when we are in mission, essentially we are opening ourselves to God. God made known to us through Christ Jesus. So we do all these things with the hope that we will know God more clearly, follow God more nearly. Leslie Weatherhead wrote this over 80 years ago. I believe he was right then. Pretty sure he's right now. Be awake, lest your religion is something which you use in order to give yourself comfort, while you miss this great fact that every word of Christ, however full of comfort, contains a challenge. And unless you respond to the challenge, you find that you miss the comfort. We need to remind ourselves of that from time to time, because if we are not careful, we will lapse into what I would call a little Jack Horner theology. You remember a little Jack Horner sat in his corner eating a Christmas pie, stuck in his thumb, pulled out a plum, and said, "What a good boy am I." If we're not careful, we might find ourselves sitting in our respective corners, saying, "Oh, what good boys and girls we are," being satisfied with what we have already become. John Finney wrote that every invitation to God's party comes with an RSVP. Some response is required. You see, life is not changed by having a plaque on the wall that says, "Once I was invited by God." It needs some stuff hanging under it, you know, those little gadgets. Stuff that says, "And on this day I did, and on this day I did, and on this day." If we come just seeking comfort without responding to the challenge, whatever comfort we receive will not be adequate for the long haul. But there's more here. Another story. I heard recently about a rabbi who died in England. His obituary told of his life, how when he was a young boy, he and his family were prisoners in a Nazi death camp. In the camp, the prisoners were given just enough food to survive, some grain, a bit of stale bread, and a few grams of lard each week. Despite their harsh environment, the boy's family continued to observe the Sabbath, somehow managing to scrounge up a piece of candle and a little food each week. With those in front of them, they said the Sabbath prayers and pronounced the Sabbath blessings. One week, however, there was no candle. So when evening came, the boy's father took some of their precious lard and molded it around a piece of string. Lighting his makeshift candle, he began to lead his family in the prayers and blessings. His son was outraged. When the prayers were done, he confronted his father. How could you do that? How could you waste the lard that we have to make a candle? It's the only food we have. His father answered, Son, without food, we can live for several days. Without hope, we cannot live for an hour. So there it is. We gather in hope. In the midst of all that goes on, we can lose track of who we are. And as long as we are in the midst of this cluttered world, it is hard to recover our true sense of self. Church is about the business of creating a new community, and we do that when we baptize. And we do that when people join the church. But equally important, we create new community by changing the lives of those of us who are already here. That's the reason for church. To bring us nearer to the source of our creation. To bring as many of us as possible into a life-changing relationship with God through Christ Jesus. In our best moments, that's why we are here. Come, sinners, to the gospel feast. Let every soul be Jesus' guest. Ye need not one be left behind, for God hath bid all humankind. Come now, this moment, heed his call. The invitation is to all. And again, this line from this morning's epistle. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near. That is our hope. And so we gather. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.